In today's episode, we're going to be looking at the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers for the NBA's restart in Orlando. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at BasketballMonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at @RedRock_Bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. As I said, we're looking at all 22 teams in the NBA's restart, and today it's time for the Miami Heat and the Philadelphia 76ers. To talk about the Miami Heat, I am joined by the host of the Locked On Heat podcast. David Ramil is here with me. David, how are you?
I'm doing very well. Josh, how are you?
I'm good. It's good to have you here. And we look at this Miami Heat team that currently sits in a pretty strong spot in the Eastern Conference. We're talking about the fourth seed in the East at the moment. There is a little bit of a battle, I guess, between where they sit in the standings. So I'll start with you with that and where they sit. I guess it leads us or informs us a little bit about their motivations in these eight regular season games as we head back. Do you think the Heat will push to get the third seed? Do you think they really care if they fall from the fourth to the sixth? What's their major aim in these eight restart games? Is it just to ramp guys up as a preseason, or is it to fight for a particular seed?
Their goal is always to win as many games as possible. And Eric Spoelstra's already said that. They're not playing any games as far as seeding or anything like that. They're not going to try and tank games. They're going to go out there with the intent of winning all eight of those games. And if they happen to move up in the standings, that's the cherry on top. But that's not the ultimate goal. It's to continue winning. It's to continue strengthening as a team, to continue getting better and staying healthy, and then pushing for a title, which is the ultimate goal every year when it comes to the Heat organization.
So they're 2.5 games back from the Celtics in the 3 seed. They're 2 games up on the Pacers and the Sixers. And it does look like just recently, about 2 minutes ago, Shams tweeted that Victor Oladipo may, in fact, play in the Orlando restart after ruling himself out. He's been down there and playing, so maybe that changes that discussion about how good the Pacers are going to be. But I think you're right. Look, whether they're fourth or fifth, it doesn't matter, because home court advantage doesn't really matter in that scenario. Whether they're 4-6, I think that's unlikely. But again, going out there to win is what they're looking to do. So that means they're going to be trying to run, you know, decent enough rotations. They're going to be putting out pretty wing-type lineups. Some other teams will be going a lot easier in that regard. But this is a team that did undergo some changes. They've been banged up all year. There's been injuries. Jimmy Butler's been hurt. Tyler Hero's been hurt. Myers Leonard's been hurt. Kendrick Nunn, Goran Dragic. There's been lots of guys that have been hurt all over the place. So getting a full Heat team together at once has been a tough ask. But David, is everyone ready to go?
Well, as far as injuries are concerned, everybody's back at 100%. Jimmy looks great. Tyler Hero, Eric Spoelstra said he's at 100%. Myers is fully ready to go. So there are no lingering issues as far as injury are concerned. However, two players have been kept out of the quarantine bubble in Orlando so far. Those are Bam Adebayo and Kendrick Nunn. And while it's not been ever reported by the team, and it's never been admitted as far as what the reasons for those are, it's strongly suspected, and one of the worst kept secrets around Heat media, that they have both tested positively for the coronavirus. And so we're not sure exactly how that's going to impact future lineups, whether or not they're going to be able to eventually be cleared and join the team. They're asymptomatic so far. They haven't had any kind of lingering health issues that we know of. So the expectation is that they'll both eventually be cleared and will be joining the team in Orlando. But as of now, those are the only two players that have not joined the team and have not been able to participate in any of the practices so far.
And we also remember that Derek Jones Jr. did test positive to coronavirus earlier on. So he's fine. He's recovered and he is in that bubble. But of course, if Bam Adebayo has to miss time, that changes things pretty significantly. But I think being asymptomatic is obviously a positive in that regard, in terms of, you know, him actually being ready to play. Now, they made moves at the deadline. Of course, they brought in Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala, who slotted straight into the rotation. But as I said, this rotation, there's probably 11 guys here who you'd look at and go, well, they are regular rotation players. The problem is all 11 of those guys either haven't been with the team or been healthy at the same time. I'm talking Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Duncan Robinson, Crowder, Nunn, Dragic, Jones, Hero, Olynyk, Iguodala, and Myers Leonard. That's 11 guys. Now, Eric Spoelstra is not an 11-man rotation guy usually, is he, David?
No, he is not. He probably keeps it a little bit tighter, more around 9 at the most. But he's also mentioned in passing over the last few Zoom conference calls with media that he does believe the team's depth is going to be relied upon pretty heavily during the quarantine restart. And so my expectation is that he'll have to go a little deeper just because of so many unknown factors surrounding the team. He might wind up using the full 11-man rotation, which is, of course, as you mentioned, atypical, but just because of the unusual circumstances regarding injury or the potential of players being out for a positive test or things of that sort, they don't want to unnecessarily put a lot of strain on players either because of the fact that they've been out of basketball for the past 4 months for the most part. And so he's going to rely pretty heavily on that depth. And I think that's where that trade at the trade deadline has really helped Miami, not just over the first few games prior to the end of the season or before the hiatus, but now that they're in the restart, he's going to definitely rely on that a little bit more than he probably would have under normal circumstances.
So at times this season, and we sort of know what we're going to get from Jimmy Butler, we, for this season at least, know what we're getting from Bam Adebayo, but guys whose value has fluctuated depending on who's been around and who's been in the lineup, Kendrick Nunn and Tyler Hero specifically, they'd go and play 35 minutes and have a lot of shots, all 30 minutes, 31 minutes, and then Jimmy Butler would come back and then they'd play 24 minutes or 20 minutes. So to me, they are the most volatile in terms of trying to work out where their minutes fall, because if Butler is healthy and Bam is healthy and you got Crowder and Iguodala playing and Goran Dragic is playing his 28 minutes a night, where do you see these guys? I imagine Nunn still starts, but he played 30 minutes a night this season. If everyone's healthy and they're running 11-man rotation, to me, he and Hero are probably going to cut back more towards the mid to low 20s.
Yeah, I think that's probably pretty fair. I think Spoelstra tends to go with whichever player has the hot hand. And I mean, look, they're both rookies. They're both going to be inconsistent. They both rely on their outside scoring predominantly. And so when you have that kind of recipe like that, you're going to have a player have bad nights on occasion. And so I think in this particular circumstance, he's going to look at whichever player starts off shooting well and feeling comfortable, and then it's going to continue to go to that. And I think the other thing too is that Tyler has always played very well in fourth quarter or clutch situations, and he's going to continue being relied upon for that. Miami's offense kind of stagnated a little bit when Hero was injured before the hiatus began, and so I think he's going to continue to be utilized primarily as kind of a fifth starter or one of the closing guys as far as that last unit is concerned.
So what do you make of the big man situation? Of course, Bam Adebayo and Myers Leonard have been the starters for the majority of the season. Leonard went down, and then we saw Jay Crowder starting and Bam pushing back to center. Leonard is back, recovered from that ankle injury. So we're talking about Crowder, you're talking about Bam. We know they're going to be in the rotation. And then there's Iguodala, who's primarily playing as a four, or him and Derek Jones Jr. interchanging at their three and four. So if someone is to miss out, if that rotation is it Leonard? Do you think they'll go back to Leonard starting next to Bam, or will it be Crowder, or is Olynyk the guy out of the rotation? Like, how does that mix sort of? Because I think the Butler, Robinson, Nunn, Jones, Hero, we're fairly Iguodala, Crowder, we're fairly confident those guys are going to play. To me, it's going to be between what happens with Leonard and Olynyk if he does pair it back to 10 men.
I'd have to say probably Olynyk's on the way. I think they have a lot of faith in what Myers Leonard can do as a vocal presence on defense. I mean, if you watch a Heat game, you'll hear Myers yelling. He keeps that defense very organized despite his own physical limitations. He's not that quick. He doesn't move his feet laterally as well as, say Bam Adebayo or your typical big man, but he's still a presence out there defensively. He's a big man. And of course he does stretch the floor pretty reliably. And so I think, you'll wind up starting Myers. He'll play, 20 minutes a game. At the same time, when it comes to those closing lineups I mentioned, Bam will be out there, Myers will not, and I think that's where Spoelstra. Olynyk's just a guy who he can rely upon if Leonard gets into foul trouble, provides a lot of the same kind of scoring from the perimeter. He can move his game. His game is a little different in the sense that he's a much better passer and playmaker than Myers is, and he's not as active a rebounder as Leonard. So their games are slightly different, but at the same time, when it comes to their offense, that's how they're most utilized as catch-and-shoot players from the three-point line.
it's going to require a bit of juggling from Spoelstra there, because that would mean there is no center in that bench lineup at all. The biggest guy there would be Crowder, and you'd be running your three power forward type players in terms of Crowder, Iguodala, and Jones, and then Hero and Dragic as that five-man bench unit. So a little bit of manipulation to get Myers out, switch Bam across, and then get those guys in there. Crowder had a pretty hot start to his Miami tenure, shot the ball quite well, significantly better than he did in Memphis. What sort of role are we expecting from him? Because he was playing upwards, pushing towards 30 minutes as after he came over from the trade deadline.
Well, he did wind up being the beneficiary of some unfortunate injuries. Not only Hero, as you mentioned, and Leonard, but also Jimmy Butler missed a few games with a lingering ankle and foot injury. And so I think he got a lot of those minutes as a result of those injuries. I think his minutes will probably be cut a little bit. And even his shooting, which you mentioned was hot at the start when he joined Miami, kind of tapered off a little bit, regressed to the mean. I don't know what to expect from Crowder. My feeling is that he'll continue to play at a pretty good level, but not as great as he was when he first joined the team. And if that's the case, he's just not going to get a lot of minutes, because he does rely so much on that outside shooting. There's not much else to his game there. He's not a playmaker. He's not a passer. And so the ball kind of stagnates with him. He's a great catch and shoot guy, but if that's the end of his offense, then I don't see much point in having him out there, except for being another versatile, switchable defender, especially if you match up with Giannis Antetokounmpo or something like that, where he's another big body that can kind of defend, create the wall to keep Giannis out of the paint and things of that sort. But other than that, there's just not as much of a role for him, especially now that Derrick Jones is back. He's a little more familiar with the defense. He's healthier. He's longer. He's a little bit more springy. He can get to the hoop a lot more easily than Crowder ever can. And I think he's a guy that Spoelstra feels very comfortable utilizing, particularly when he rolls out those zone defense matchups.
When we're looking at this Heat team from a fantasy perspective, you've got the two top 25 guys in Bam and Butler, and then you're probably looking at Duncan Robinson as that next guy who probably sneaks in as a top 80 sort of a player in the group of restart players. Now, there were times when everyone was healthy that Robinson would see his minutes fall back a little bit. He's established himself as obviously a really important player. Amazingly, he's the 20th ranked player in PIPM. He's a positive in every of those on-off metrics, box score plus minus, Raptor, RPM, big positives in most of those. Super, super impactful player. Do we see him sort of locked in as a 30-minute a night guy, just providing that unbelievable spacing, high volume, 9 threes a game, 44%? Like, it is basically unparalleled for anyone in the league for this season. So, is Robinson's role fairly settled there?
Yeah, he's intrinsic to the offense. I mean, the Miami's offense can get so stagnant at times, and he just opens things up so dramatically. He draws so much attention on defense, and he's continuously moving. So he makes a defense shift in unpredictable ways, and so he's vital to Miami's. And for them to establish any kind of flow in offense, Robinson needs to.
So this Miami team, there is obviously some fantasy value there, but just watching what happens with that Hero, Nunn, Dragic, Jones, Crowder, there's a lot of moving parts there that is going to be a key for guys to watch in DFS and in anyone playing in the seasonal restart leagues over this time. David, you'll have it all covered for us over on Locked On Heat. Thanks for jumping on and giving us a bit of a refresher about Miami here before the NBA kicks off in a couple of weeks.
My pleasure.
All right, so now we're going to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers. Fortunately, couldn't get the host of the Locked On Sixers podcast. He just had some scheduling difficulties. So I'm just going to talk about the Philadelphia 76ers by myself. I do have in the studio. And if he wakes up as a little puppy, maybe he'll make an appearance on the podcast for the first time. But let's talk about these Sixers and news coming out today that, and this is not unexpected, that Shake Milton is going to be a starter. And the way it's being framed is Ben Simmons is playing at power forward. Right, so that means Al Horford's coming off the bench. We saw this before the shutdown. Simmons wasn't healthy at that time, so we saw Glenn Robinson starting at times with Milton there, and Horford was on the bench, and he came back when Simmons was injured. So what they're going to do is they're going to run Joshie Richardson, Toby Harris, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, and Shake Milton, which is, I think, what was expected. I believe I talked about that a couple of weeks ago. One thing I think we have to be cautious of is they're talking so much about, well, Simmons is now playing power forward. Shake Milton was pretty impressive this season. There's no doubt about that. I thought he played well as a second-year guard. His shooting is really, really important. Like, very, very important. Him out there replacing Simmons in those lineups was really, really good for this team. But I do have some level of caution with the way that it's being framed. With Simmons is now your power forward. Because once the ball comes down, Who's going to have it? Is it going to be Shake Milton or is it going to be Ben Simmons? I feel pretty good about it being, well, Simmons, can you just go, well, sorry, pretty good about it not being Simmons. Just go down and play in the low block, maybe spot out for threes and don't handle the ball. That's not happening. Milton is out there with Simmons. Simmons is going to handle the ball the vast majority of the time. Even in these starts, he started 16 games, Shake. He averaged 3.6 assists, and that's without Ben Simmons. So he is not, don't look at this and go, wow, Ben Simmons' assist numbers are all going to drop. This might be really interesting for DFS because it means Simmons' numbers, I think, might drop. His salary might drop down. But when you think about it logically, for a bloke that couldn't average 4 assists in his 16 starts in 28 minutes a night, Shake Milton, super impressive. I expect his shooting to drop. He shot 50% as a starter from 3, 57% from 2. That's going to fall back off. Impressive. Really good stuff. But he is not running the offense. I 100% guarantee this. I don't care what Brett Brown says, or we're getting Simmons to play off the ball. Why? Why would you do that? For a bloke that can't shoot, won't shoot, why would you decide that the best idea is to play him off the ball? The best idea is to play Shake Milton off the ball, and that is what I think is going to happen the vast majority of the time. That's pretty interesting for Shake. Again, he was really strong with some good scoring numbers, but he lacks in so many other areas that he's not a sensational fantasy option for this restart. The Sixers feel like they're going to be locked into a 4-5 battle with the Miami Heat. Now, Victor Oladipo may be playing, might change that calculus between Miami or between Indiana and Philadelphia. I still think that the Sixers, with a healthy Simmons now, hopefully arrested Al Horford, should be able to push into at least that 5 seed and then get a series against Miami. And I reckon they should be favored to beat Miami in that series, but that still remains to be seen. I think Embiid, who was injured before the hiatus, played one game, put up big numbers in limited minutes, but he should be ready to go. His conditioning will be a concern. And again, I'm not worried about Simmons. I'm not thinking, and you can think this is the case, but having Simmons in an off-ball spot where he doesn't handle the ball makes zero sense. Zero. Like, nothing at all. So I think the assist combinations are going to still be there for him. Maybe it means we get a little bit more of him guarding up at 4, and maybe that improves his rebound and block numbers. I think that's a distinct possibility for Simmons. But offensively, I don't imagine there's going to be a huge change. Everyone else, Horford's minutes are going to be in the low 20s. I'm not sure he's even going to be a top 100 player in this restart. While Joshie Richardson has struggled for most of this season, there's a real chance that Josh can get hot with his shot. It hasn't been the case all year, just 33% over the course of the season, 53 true shooting. He's not really good enough. I expect some big numbers from Simmons, big numbers from Embiid, solid numbers from Harris. Then you've got Richardson and Horford sort of bringing up the back end of things. You're going to have the painter Matisse Thybulle in the rotation. You're probably going to have Furkan Korkmaz and probably Glenn Robinson in there as well. But I also think that Joel Embiid and Al Horford are going to rest. The Sixers do have a back-to-back during this time frame. They'll sit out one of those games almost assuredly. That'll give someone like Mike Scott a bit of a chance to have a crack at things. And then you've got Alec Burks and Glenn Robinson, who just, I don't think, are going to play too big of a role. With Simmons coming back, that takes some of those minutes away, especially as they're going to be pushing Shake up there, and then the Thybulle is going to be playing his role. So the Sixers team, they were a little bit banged up before things shut down. We're all well aware of that. But for now, they're a fully healthy team, and how this all works is going to be really interesting. I should have played this. I'm rusty. Shake, shake, shake. So yeah, Shake Milton, I think there's a risk that he maybe is a little bit overvalued based on this news in DFS and in Fantasy Restart Leagues, and Simmons might be a little bit undervalued just because, again, we have to look at it and try and think logically as much as you can about how this offense is going to run, and is the best use of it putting Simmons in the corner off the ball while having Milton, a subpar creator, great shooter, a subpar creator for others running the offense. Right, that makes no sense at all. Maybe you see Embiid handling the ball a little bit more. I could be totally behind that. But I just don't think that, oh, all right, Shake, you do everything now. I just don't think that is going to be anywhere remotely to the what's going to happen. And if you look at headlines, and even the way that it's framed on Roto World, Simmons to play more power forward, like, that's misleading if you don't think about it or look into it. Brett Brown running Ben Simmons at power forward in practice, great. Like, that's fine. And I'm pretty sure that Milton will start. But I just don't, it just makes no sense. Maybe they do it, makes no sense. but we'll see exactly how things pan out. So I think Embiid is probably looking to be a top 10 player, fantasy-wise. Simmons probably top 25, top 30 sort of a guy. Harris, maybe a top 60 player. Milton, I don't think, is a top 100 guy, nor is Richardson, and Horford is right on the border of that for this Sixers team in the NBA restart. That's sort of where we sit with them. I think they push into the four seed. Sorry, I think they push into the five seed, take on the Heat in the first round, and probably get that victory, and then they take on the Bucks in round two, which I think they can push it to six or seven, but not necessarily sure that they'll be able to make it all the way. They were my pick for the NBA Finals, not to win it, but to make it there. I'm backing off that one pretty significantly at this point, but they are a team that I think has probably benefited the most from this Orlando bubble restart just by getting Simmons back, resting Horford, and seeing what they can get with Shake Milton. Now, the little fella here, I believe, is has woken up. No? Do you want to come on the camera? Yeah, here we go. This doesn't help you guys on... there he is on audio, but if you want to come and see my new dog, Ruckus, there he is on the screen. All right, back to sleep, my guy. Have a little rest in my lap. He's only 8 weeks old, so that's why he's just sitting with me as we record the show. That'll do it for me. Subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, and on YouTube. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.